this year in our preaching, we're going to be really focusing on the great hero, Jesus Christ, and particularly preaching our way through the book of Luke. So open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. And while you go to Luke chapter 1, let me read to you from Revelation chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, which reads, "And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature like the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" In this prophetic picture of these angels in the heavenly throne room are this picture of four faces: a lion and an ox, a man and an eagle. And these four faces give us the four pictures of the four Gospels in the New Testament. The lion is a picture of Jesus, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Messiah, the Promised One. That's the focus of the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the four Gospels share the same story, but from different perspectives. Matthew writes to the Jewish people, and he presents Jesus as a fulfillment of Messianic law. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this first angel has a face of a lion. The next one is of an ox. And the book of Mark presents Jesus, who came not to serve, be served, but to serve and give himself a ransom for many. Book of Mark is all about the servant. God, who becomes the servant so that he leads and serves everyone into salvation. The third gospel is the gospel, the fourth one is the eagle. And the eagle is flying up in the heavenlies, and it presents the gospel of John that presents Jesus as the Son of God. It highlights his deity and highlights that he is God in the flesh. John 1:12, "And God became flesh and dwelt among us." But the third gospel is the picture of the man's face. And it's all about Jesus, who the Son of Man. John, the Son of God. Luke, the Son of Man. And we come to Luke, and it's all about Jesus. And it's all about Jesus coming in a way that we can understand. And that's going to be the focus over the next few, the rest of this year almost, as we hover over, the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 1, it's broken up into a number of sections. By the way, in your Bibles, sometimes in your Bible you have a little subtitle over a paragraph. Sometimes in your Bible, maybe you notice your verse numbers. The odd time some of your verse numbers are slightly bold. Do you notice that in your Bible? Does your Bible have some of your verse numbers slightly bold? What that highlights is the fact that in the original, and when it was written in Greek, they were written in paragraphs. And so every time a new paragraph started, what it's doing in your translation is it's writing, the bold number is saying this is the beginning of a new paragraph. And every paragraph presents a new thought. And so there are a number of paragraphs in Luke 1, and the first, quick summary, in verses 1 to 4, it's an introduction. When I was started preaching, I learned this poem, "Wherein you look, within this of these five things take care, of whom it speaks, to whom it speaks, why, when, and where." And all answers to that is given in this first four verses. Of whom it speaks? Jesus. To whom it speaks? A guy called Theophilus, which is an unusual name. But it is to Theophilus. Of whom it speaks? To whom it speaks? Why? Well, look at verse 4. It presents the why. Let me read. It says that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So Luke is recognized as a great historian. And he's done some research. He's gathered information. Luke is understood to have lent a lot on the Gospel of Mark, which is considered to be the first gospel written. And then he's got other testimonials of people who've been eyewitnesses to what's going on. And he's gathering it all into like an apologetic, an argument, something that is solid. You can believe in it, is dependable. You can depend upon it. And so he is a theologian. He's writing, a historian. He's writing all the details historically accurate so that you can depend. He's saying, Theophilus, I want you to know that what you've been taught is the truth. I've researched this and I've gone over and I want to tell you this is real. And that's the purpose of why he writes the Gospel of Luke. So that Theophilus can be have absolute assurance of his faith. It's important, everybody, you read your Bible so you know for sure and have deep conviction over what you believe. This is why Theophilus, and there is some argument to believe that even Theophilus paid the bill for this then to be produced and reproduced to go out to be a gift to others who want to have assurance of their faith. And so verses 1 to 4 is this beginning. And then verses 5 through to 25 is all about the birth of John the Baptist, has it been foretold. And then verses 26 to 38 is all about the birth of Jesus being foretold. Mary visits Elizabeth in verses 39 to 56. And there's this divine encounter with two pregnant women, both provided their children, they've been made pregnant because it's a miracle. Elizabeth's an old lady, she shouldn't be pregnant. Mary never had sex. She's a virgin. She should never be pregnant. But God is birthing something new. In the last message, I made the comment, it was 400 years silence. Book of Malachi finishes the last prophetic word, and for 400 years, there's not one prophetic word given from God to the world. God goes quiet. Why? Because he speaks to us, and if we don't listen to him, it goes quiet. If we listen, he speaks. And all the way through the Old Testament, he's speaking, and the world is not listening. The Jewish people, you see, they've stopped listening. So for 400 years of silence. And then Luke 1 tells the story. In fact, Luke 1 presents the earliest part of the New Testament story. So we learn a lot right from the very beginning of the New Testament. And God begins to speak for the first time in 400 years. That's amazing. You got to get yourself in a place where you're hearing God's voice. Has it been a while since you've heard God's voice? Position yourself to hear God's voice. God will speak if you have ears to hear. And in verses 1 to 4, it's this introduction, and then, as I said, the birth of John the Baptist foretold, and then the birth of Jesus foretold, and Mary and Elizabeth hang out together, and that's amazing. Two women, two pregnancies, two songs. Elizabeth sings a song, a prophetic song, as Mary comes in through the door, the Holy Spirit, who's in John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is in Elizabeth. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and there's a witness in the Spirit, and Elizabeth immediately knows who it is. Not only does she know that it's Mary, but she knows that Mary is pregnant with the coming Messiah. How on earth would she know that? It's a supernatural moment, and Elizabeth bursts into song. And the song is a declaration of how blessed Mary is and that her son will be the Messiah. And then Mary is overcome by this and she bursts into a song. And it's about how great God is and what a privilege it is to be carrying something special in God. For the first time after 400 years of silence, the prophetic word is released. And it's through woman. That's huge. When you consider that Jewish men used to thank God that, number one, they weren't born a dog, and number two, they weren't born a woman. That's right. It was hard for women in those days. And Jesus, like ushering in a brand new move, decides the first prophetic word is going to come by song through an old woman. And it ushers in a fresh move of the Spirit. And then the next prophetic word is going to come through a young woman. So she begins to prophesy in song. It's beautiful. And then not long after that, John the Baptist gets born. Listen, you've got to read the book. Read Luke chapter 1 when you get home. It's a great story. John the Baptist gets born. And that's an incredible story and an encounter with an angel. Gabriel, he turns up twice in chapter 1. An angel called Gabriel. He tells the good news to Elizabeth. He tells the good news to Zechariah, a priest. Hey, you're going to have a baby. What? We're like getting on. It's got to be a miracle. And number two, to Mary, hey, you're going to get a baby. What? What do you mean, get me get a baby? This is trouble. By the way, you need to know, as much as that was miraculous, Jesus, we got ample evidence in Scripture to prove that people claim that Jesus was illegitimate. And so there was a slur on his name. People talked about him because Mary was pregnant. Now, she was engaged to be married to Joseph. Well, actually betrothed, which is different from engaged. It was as good as being married, except they hadn't actually had the ceremony. They hadn't been intimate. And in those days, if you were betrothed to someone, you were promised to someone, then you had no choice. You could get married to them. And if it didn't happen, it wasn't a case of calling off an engagement. It was actually a divorce. To not go ahead with the wedding, with marriage, was effectively a divorce. And what a difficult moment for Mary to have Joseph find out that she was pregnant. And you know, I mean, what a story. Hey, Joseph. You know, I'm pregnant. What? You know, I had an angel come and visit me. Yeah, right. And in fact, that whatever she tells him, he's still thinking about closing off the marriage, divorcing her. And he needs his own divine encounter. He needs his own angelic visitation. He needs his own dream to convince him not to call off the marriage. But you bet, as Jesus' life carried on, people talked. People talked. And it's amazing even today how people will mock and talk about what is going on in our life, not understand it, not comprehend it, speak negatively about it. I find it interesting. Recently in America, in England, two guys who were preaching the gospel on the street using the Bible were arrested and told not to preach the Bible again on the streets in England. That once was considered acceptable and okay, now is being worked against and by law. And this couple have a massive Christian ministry, legal Christian ministry building up around them to try and get that overturned. But we live in a day where evil is called good and good is evil. Where homosexuality is applauded, and if you believe that it's wrong, you are considered a bigot. Where wrong is applauded and right is rejected. And so anyway, this is the picture in which Jesus turned up, and Mary visits Elizabeth, and then John the Baptist is born. He's named, and then Zechariah breaks out in this huge prophetic word, and he prophesies about the coming his son. He prophesies about his son. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, it's a big chapter. And as I was praying over it, I felt to really highlight these points. And that is that right from the beginning of God being quiet, he breaks into history with one powerful supernatural chapter. And it's this, I just want to share the 10 things that made God's prophetic voice, having been silent for 10 years, why this was so supernaturally amazing. Number one, look at verse 11 of Luke 1. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. This is Zechariah, he's the priest. And he's in the holy place giving an offering to the Lord. His one once only opportunity. Priests were only allowed once to enter the holy place. And it was only priests who were ever allowed to enter the holy place. So this was a privilege. And he was looking forward to it. And he, as an old priest, his one and only chance to go right into the holy place, which was a place in the temple, which you were allowed to do a number of things, including put incense on a certain altar. And incense represented prayer. And he goes for the first time into the holy place. You can bet he was more than a little nervous. He's got all the faith community behind him outside of the holy place, waiting, seeing him go in and waiting for him to come out. This should not have taken long. He goes in and he goes to apply the incense on the altar. And on his heart is a prayer. God, when are you going to speak again? It's been 400 years. When are you going to move again? It's been 400 years. When are you going to have your way in our nation? It's been 400 years. And he goes in and goes to put incense on the altar. And this is a reasonably dark place, by the way. There is a light, a candelabra going, but apart from that, it's covered with it's like a tent that's fully covered with pretty heavy duty covering. So there's one little candelabra going on, and then all of a sudden it's getting brighter and brighter in this little place. In fact, there's a blazing light, because right between the incense and where Jesus is an angel. Now, this isn't a little cherub. You know, we get these little pictures of a tiny little cherub, harp, fluttering around over, you know, shooting little arrow towards people's hearts. This isn't that. This was an angel full of light, a being of light, and he comes up and he speaks. This is great. And he says, blessings. Good on you, mate. And he says, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Which is, of course, understandable. And he said, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Don't be afraid. This was a supernatural encounter, because it was an angelic visitation. It was a supernatural encounter because it was an answer to prayer. Your prayer has been heard. It was a supernatural encounter because it was the achievement of the impossible. What was that? Verse 13. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. That was impossible. It was a supernatural chapter because it was the arrival of the prophet. Verse 17. Again it says, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He's talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth's son. He's going to be a prophet. Wow, it's been 400 years since a prophet was in the nation. It was a supernatural moment, again, for another angelic visitation. Verse 26. Same angel, Gabriel, goes to the city of Galilee and speaks to Mary and gives her the news. It is a supernatural chapter because of the awareness of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." It was a supernatural chapter because of the arrival of the Son of God, verse 35. Verse 35 reads, "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, because the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God." Wow, this was a big day, not only the arrival of the prophet, but arrival of the Messiah. Number 8, it was a supernatural chapter because of a word of knowledge. In verse 42 to verse 45, we read Elizabeth declaring, how did she know that Mary was pregnant, that Mary was at the door, that Mary was pregnant, and that Mary was pregnant with the Messiah? This was a word of knowledge. And number 9, it was a supernatural chapter because a sign and a wonder in that Zechariah was mute. Zechariah did not believe when it was told him by the angel. And the angel said, okay, that's all right. You'll stay quiet, since you don't believe this. You'll stay quiet until the baby turns up. And he went quiet for 9 months. Couldn't speak. It's amazing how unbelief will make us quiet. But when the baby is finally born, and the people ask, what shall we call him? And Elizabeth says, call him John. And they said, no, there's no one in the family called John. What shall we call him? And they asked the husband, Zechariah, what should we call him? And he gets a tablet and he writes, his name is John. That's powerful, because he doesn't say, call him John. He tells them what his name already is. Because the name was given not by Zechariah, not by Elizabeth. It was given by an angel. It was given by God. So he declares what the boy's name is. His name is John. And a couple, lovely couple who were married some years ago. And they were praying for a child. One night, they were together and intimate. And just after, the wife said to her husband, we conceived. I'm pregnant. She knew she was. And exactly 9 months from that moment, they gave birth to a baby boy. God has his way to make possible what is impossible. He wants to come in after 400 years of silence. This chapter is like God turning up big time and says, get out of the way. I'm here. I've been quiet. You know, Zechariah was quiet for 9 months and he had to speak out in prophecy. Jesus was quiet for God was quiet for 400 years. And then he turns up big in this chapter. And it's the beginning of one dynamic revelation from God after the other. And the last thing, number 10, it's a supernatural chapter again because a prophetic word was given the first after 400 years. Zechariah prophesies, and again, the 400 years of silence is over. So what do we take out of that? God is speaking to us all the time. Have you got ears to hear? Are you picking up what he's saying? Are you listening to him? Because if you do, he'll keep on speaking. But if we ignore him, he'll go silent. Some of us, it's been years since we've last felt God connecting to us. I would ask you, what was the last thing he said to you? Maybe that's the reason why it's been a while since you've not heard from him. let God speak to you. You might say, God speak to me? I don't know whether he ever has. He has. Remember when you decided to give your life to Christ? That was you listening to the voice of God and saying yes. Maybe those times when you've been on the verge of doing something, you know it's wrong, and then you pulled back. That's been God saying don't. Maybe even being here today, you might have thought was just your idea. That was God saying go. And God will continue to speak to you. And if you have ears to hear, he will speak and the relationship will build. Why stay in silence? You know, there's scores of people in this world who have not heard the voice of God in their heart. And there are many who have and have said no. I remember my father clearly heard God reaching out to him as someone preached the gospel. And he deliberately closed his heart off and said no. No. So I'm asking you today, will you open your heart to him? Will you listen? Will you let God break the silence over your life? And it's supernatural. I believe, as we finish off this morning, I believe God's going to amp up his supernatural communication to us all. So get ready for God to be speaking to you. Who has God speaking to them in dreams? Put your hand up if you have God speaking to your dreams. Look at all those hands go up. Who's had visions? Who's had God speak to you in visions? Yeah, look at that. What about when you're reading the Bible, you have God speaking to you all the time as you're reading the Bible? That's true. What about when you listen to messages? Now, all your hands should go up right now. Now, listen. Sometimes it's when we're having a conversation with someone. I'll just close with a story. I was at a Bible college, and halfway through Bible college, went home. As I was home, Mum decided, she thought, look, you need a job when you come home. How about we start a pizzerella? I'll pay for all it. We'll be 50-50. I'll give all the money. You front it. We'll call it Tony's Pizzas. Tony's Pizzas. Doesn't that sound Italian? Tony's Pizzas. Here in Levin. Come and get a pizza at Tony's Pizzas. And before I went back to Bible school to finish the Bible school year, we tracked down a facility. It was, and we thought, right, that's where we're going to lease that place out. We're going to base ourselves there. We're going to start Tony's Pizzas when I come back, and it's going to be great. And I made my way back up to Bible College, and I was only there for a couple of days, and I was talking to someone and saying, look, I've got a job to go to when I finish. What do you mean? Oh, I'm going to, Mum's, you know, providing the money. We're going to be able to do this, going to be doing, go do that, and it's going to be Tony's Pizzas. And this person said, have you prayed about it? What a dumb question. Of course I hadn't. I hadn't prayed about it. And he said, if I were you, he said, the worst thing you can be is outside of what God is telling you to do. Oh. So I, as he spoke, I felt it was more than just his words. I felt it was like a huge warning in my heart. So I went straight from him and I went to my room. And as I went into my room, we'd share rooms, two guys sharing a room, and my roommate, his devotional book was sitting on his bed. So I picked up the devotional book and looked up for the devotion for the today, that day, and it was entitled "Heed God's Warnings." Oh no! So I picked up my own devotional book for the day. It was entitled God's warnings are in the Bible. No. So I picked up my Bible. Where should I look, Lord? And I felt the Lord say, go to Proverbs. Just a prompting. So I opened the book of Proverbs, and I started leafing through Proverbs, came to Proverbs 6 in the Good News Bible, and a little chapter, and it was entitled, More Warnings. And then it said, if you've agreed to go into business with someone, then get out of it as soon as you can, like an animal trying to escape a trap. And I felt a big lump in my throat. And I knew God was speaking to me. So I made my way to the phone. I rang up my mum. Have you organized the lease of that building? No, I haven't. I'm just about to go and do that. Don't. Why? I don't think we should be doing that. Why? I didn't want to tell her the whole story because she wasn't saved. You know, she wouldn't understand it. I said, I just believe it's the wrong thing. Listen, I've spoken to all my friends, said my mum was a businessman, successful businesswoman, should I say. She said, not businessman, businesswoman. She said, Tony, I've done some homework on this and it's all good. We'll be fine. All my friends say this is going to be a great thing. We don't have a pizzarella in town. And I said, please don't. She said, listen, I'm meeting with the accountant tomorrow. If he says not, then I won't do it. So I hung up and prayed like crazy. Then I rang her up the next day. How did it go? She said, strange. The accountant said, Nancy, don't touch it with a 10-foot barge pole. So she said, so we're not going. She said, I didn't understand it. He couldn't explain it. He wouldn't explain it. But we're not going to go ahead. I thought, whew, what a relief. And I just felt the pressure come right off. Anyway, about 3 months after, when mum should have by then organized the lease and paid some money and all that sort of stuff, a big pizzarella chain came in to live in. And they would have just made it impossible for a little sort of business. And I was so grateful that God spoke at all those levels and I had ears to hear. It saved my bacon. Get ready for God to be speaking like he's never done in your life. And orientate your life to what he's saying. Listen to the words and cares of others. Listen to the preaching of God's word. Give yourself time in the Bible, time in prayer. Open yourself up to that prophetic voice. And you'll find, like Luke 1, supernatural communication will break forth in your life. Just obey what God tells you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this incredible passage of you speaking after 400 years of silence. And right now, Lord, there some people, Father, I know you're speaking to them. You're saying, come to me. Come to me. Don't run away. Stop ignoring my voice. I want to be involved in your life. And I pray, Lord, as we surrender to your voice, Lord, you would have your supernatural way in our life. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Now, just something I didn't mention. We're starting a Wednesday service at 10:30 over at St. John's. And so, if you can't make it on Sunday, why don't you consider coming on Wednesday at 10:30? This is a great opportunity to be receive the word and be in Christian fellowship. We'll have a cup of tea with each other afterwards. And it's a great opportunity to bring people along. And so that's going to be another service on Wednesdays. Would you stand, please? Sarah, would you go to the keyboard? Thank you, God. Hear God's voice, everybody. Hear God's voice. Sorry? Oh, offering. Man, I heard a couple of voices that was obviously led by the Lord right there. So we'll receive the offering as I close in prayer. And we thank you for your partnership and connection financially with what we're doing. Give thanks to God. You just receive them. Kevin, Aaron, praise God. Father, have your supernatural way in us. Your word says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me.
God, that we would be people who follow your voice, follow your lead. Go where you tell us to go, do what you tell us to do. Love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We give you praise. Father, we pray, Lord, as we go out this week, help us to be your voice to someone else. Help us to tell other people how much you love them and how you have a plan for them. Help us to share the good news with those who have not heard your voice for a very long time. Turn to the person beside you and say, "You are a voice. You are a voice." Say that to the person beside you. You are a voice. You are a voice. You are a voice. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Wow, I just felt the Lord just say, some of you are going to walk into a wonderful opportunity this week to be a voice to someone. It was said of John the Baptist, he was a voice in the wilderness, crying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We don't want to be echoes anymore. We don't want to be just repeats of what's going on. We want to be a mouthpiece for God and what he's doing today. Be a voice. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit. Now seal this word in our heart. Father, I pray. I thank you for that greater release of supernatural communication in our life. Father, for those of us, Lord, it's been a while since we've heard your voice. Father, I pray that ears would be opened in Jesus' name. The hearts would be opened in Jesus' name. And we would, Lord, afresh know your leading and your guiding in Jesus' name. Right now, the Lord is telling me there is some here, God has spoken to you about baptism. You haven't yet got baptized. That was one of the last things he spoke to you about. You've been resisting. Come on, get baptized. If that's you, you come up to me at the end of the service, say, "Tony, I need to get baptized." And we'll respond immediately with what God is telling you. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.